You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.
Welcome to another edition of On the Tee with Anita Marks. John Mascari is joining me this week. We missed you last week, Johnny.
I know. I missed you guys. I heard it was a great, great show, so I'm sorry I couldn't make it.
Oh, really? Somebody told you it was a great show without you? That wasn't nice.
Listen. I know my role.
You're so funny. Unfortunately, Christina Thompson cannot be with us. It is her birthday. This is her birthday week. It's her birthday month. So she's enjoying a nice – did she go to the Cape? Martha's Vineyard? She went
– somewhere. I mean, judging by her Instagram feed, I tried to piece it together. It's either, to your point, it's either like up in the Cape or maybe out in the east end of Long Island. I don't know. Either way, I'm jealous anyway.
Anyway, happy birthday, Christina Thompson, from golf for her. Unfortunately, she will not be with us this evening, but that's okay. She'll be back next week. John, let's dive right into it. Dustin Johnson, just so, like, I'm just going to use the word dumb. Like, just so off the charts, epic performance last week at the Northern Trust, TPC Boston. 30 under, 67 on Thursday, 60 on Friday, 64 on Saturday, and a 63 on Sunday. This dude just did not let up. Was really, really unbelievable. I mean, I guess, you know, I'll tee you up there. What did you see in his game that maybe the average eye couldn't see?
The ball striking was unbelievable. I mean, it just, like, every shot he was just dialed in. He picked up 18 shots on the field from tee to green. Think about how good you're hitting it to pick up that many shots. And what I love to see was he hit every green in regulation in Sunday. Think about that. So he's putting for either birdie on eagle on every hole. One of the most dominant performances I've seen on the tour. Shoots a fine around 68 to get to 30 under. Listen, I think it's really impressive. 2 weeks ago, he had the 54-hole lead at the PGA and shoots 68 to lose, but then bounces back and has one of the largest margins of victory on the tour. Phil Mickelson had 13 shots once before, but
his final round was 63.
I'm sorry, 63. He had 68 last week, 2 weeks ago at the PGA. So this is his 22nd tour title. You know what I mean? Wow. Talk about hitting it at the right time, too, coming into the BMW and now into the FedEx playoffs.
A really, really remarkable. You mentioned him hitting every green in regulation on Sunday. How about this? He only missed three greens in his last 54 holes. So, I mean, both things are just – both accomplishments are just really, really fantastic, really, really amazing. So with that being said, now he's number one. Yep. in the FedEx Cup points, behind, I want to say John Rahm, right? Is it John Rahm or is it JT?
I believe it's JT. Rahm is up there. DeChambeau is up there as well.
Yeah, it's JT. Mm-hmm. So if you can kind of, well, actually, before we start talking about Thursday right, and what's going to happen, let's take a look. Let's still stay back here at the Northern Trust and take a look at the leaderboard. Harris English, 19 under, stayed in the 60s as well this past week and did extremely well. Some of the guys, I'm going to pat myself on the back here. A lot of the guys that finished in the top five and top 10 were guys that I told people to put money on. Harris English being one of them. Daniel Berger was 18 under. John Rahm was 16 under. Webb Simpson was 16 under. Trying to look and see if a few of them, you know, some guys, there were a lot of guys that as well disappointed me for sure, that didn't even make the cut. Let's take a look at some of the guys that missed the cut. I was expecting big things from Cameron Champ, considering he's one of the longest drivers on tour, and that was a metric that you really needed to excel at to win here. Tony Finau missed the cut. Patrick Cantlay missed the cut. Woodland, DeChambeau, I'm bearing the lead here. DeChambeau didn't make the cut. What the heck happened there? Answer, did Morikawa did not make the cut, even though, TPC Boston does not fit Morikawa's game. He's not the longest driver off the tee, and his putter definitely did not show up this past week. But I guess my question to you, John, before we move forward and we start looking at, the BMW Championship that's taking place this week, and that is some of these scores. I mean, Dustin Johnson's score was beyond ridiculous, but some of these other scores were pretty, ridiculously impressive.
Right,
like English at minus 19, like Berger at minus 18. What was it about this course that these guys were able to put up these type of numbers?
Well, I mean, let's just go back to the first part of that statement with poor Harris English shoots 19 under par and loses by 11. Is that unbelievable?
Yes.
Who was the other guy? Oh, Harris Higgs. So here's this guy, Harris Higgs. He finishes tied for 11th at 15 under. Dustin Johnson doubled his score at 30 under, right? So think about, it almost is like he was playing another golf course. Everyone else is playing for second place. So it was, I think the golf course was set up for scoring. It's great to see so many players playing well. This is the playoffs. The bright lights are on. Even though there's no fans, everyone's attention is drawn to these events. He was just, there was no one that could have stopped this guy. So everyone else is playing for second place. Will we see the same thing moving forward? Do we think he kind of fired all those bullets in the first round? We'll see. But it should be interesting to see the BMW heading to Chicago, the Chicago area, at the very famous Olympia Fields golf course.
Well, John, let's talk about that for a second.
Sure.
The mental, not only just the physical aspect, but the mental aspect of the zone, the vibe, the groove that Dustin Johnson had to be in for those number of days, four straight days. How taxing is that on a golfer, especially in a tournament, and especially right now where you've got all these guys that are jockeying to try to win the Tour Championship?
I guess it depends on who you are, okay? So let me say it this way. If you're comfortable in the zone, it's a great place to be. Does that make sense? If it's somewhere where you're not comfortable being, you're thinking about where you are, you're thinking about your score, it's not very conducive to continuing playing well. So we hear it a lot of times just with amateur golfers. Hey, you'll make 2, 3, 4 pars in a row. Maybe you'll throw a birdie in there. You start to feel like, oh boy, I'm kind of really hitting it good. Are you anxious to play the next hole, or are you nervous about what's going to happen, waiting for the wheels to fall off? I think he lives in a comfort zone when he's playing well. He's not afraid to go to that next level. And all good athletes, no matter what the sport, show that trait. So good on him. I think I'd be pretty nervous, though, being that many under.
It's it really, really was quite remarkable. All right. So now this is the second leg of the FedEx Cup Championship. Kind of explain to our listeners out there. I'm assuming if you're listening to a golf podcast, I'm assuming you're pretty savvy in regard to how this all plays out. But just for poops and giggles, John, why don't you just kind of break it down?
I'll give you the real quick version. So the structure of the FedEx Cup playoffs is such that the top 125 players in the FedEx Cup point standings go to Boston for the Northern Trust at TPC Boston. Following that, which is coming up now, the BMW Championship, we whittle that down to 70 players. Okay, that's going to be at Olympia Fields, as we said. There's no cut. And after this tournament, the top 30 will go to East Lake in Atlanta for the Tour Championship.
The top 30 in points.
Correct.
Right. So it's really important to acknowledge that and point that out. No pun intended in regard to points, and I'm pointing it out. Because there are a few guys, for example, and probably the biggest news today is that Webb Simpson has opted out of this tournament. Why? He wants to rest. He wants to rest up. He feels that he has a significant number of points where he wants to be ready for next week when they head to Atlanta. And hopefully he comes out, has a great showing, and has enough points that he potentially could win. Now, there are some guys that are on the cusp Noren, Cantlay, Matthew Wolf, Damon, just a number of a few golfers out there that you really want to pay attention to, because these are the guys that really have to come in and really have to showcase and play well to make sure that they advance to Atlanta. And when you're gambling, these are some of the guys that I'm not expecting them to win, but these are some of the guys that I'm going to be looking at to play in certain matchups this week, because they're going to have a little bit more at stake, because they need to finish in a certain, obviously, ranking in order to get to the next step, in order to move on.
Yeah. So let's think about this. So go back to our last event, Louis Oosthuizen. You want to talk about drama? It was, obviously with Dustin Johnson, everyone, all the media was there, but Louis Oosthuizen was 99th in the FedEx Cup, and he was trying to get to the next one and get into the BMW. He's 4 over through 14 holes, right? So it doesn't look good for Louis. He comes to the 18th hole, par 5. He needs to make birdie to get in. He drives it into the fairway, and then he has to wait for over like an hour because of the rain that went through. He comes back out. He hits the green with a 3-iron. He makes the putt, and then he gets into number 70, which moves him onto the BMW. So you want to talk about drama on the whole other end. So that's one of the great things with this event, is that you're hitting it from both angles. You're excited about the top of the leaderboard, but you're also watching the bottom of the leaderboard to see how these guys who are, to your point, at the cusp, are going to handle it. And you talked about Webb Simpson, and he's obviously having a great year. He's ranked 3rd. Let's talk about the ramifications of him missing the BMW can be, because we know that the new scoring system is a staggered start in Atlanta. So the number one seed begins the first round at East Lake 10 under. The number 2 goes to 8 under. The number 3 goes to 7 under, et cetera, et cetera. So now Simpson's decision could cost him a couple of spots. And when you get caught a couple of spots, you're talking about strokes. So now that complicates his push for that FedEx Cup and the $15 million payday. So I get it, Webb, you're tired, but this could probably push you down the leaderboard.
But John, don't you think he did the numbers? Don't you think he analytically did the numbers where he said it would be to my best interest to take this week off, and then he's calculating what he has to do in Atlanta, as opposed to coming in and playing this week and playing next week, taking this week off, resting, working, fine-tuning his game, and coming into Atlanta and really making it. I'll tell you what, because he took this week off, you know what I'm going to do next week.
You're going to play him.
I'm going to play him. That's right. That's what I'm going to do.
I'm
going to put my hard-earned money on Webb Simpson, because I think Webb Simpson, I think he crunched the numbers, and I think he made the best decision for himself in how he thinks he can attack Atlanta. So yes, I am putting money on Webb Simpson.
I'm not putting any money. I think, listen, if it were me, I would want to have my own destiny in my own hands, and he's playing great golf, and why would you stop? Come on, Webb, just keep playing, keep grinding. But to your point, he probably crunched the numbers and his people laid everything out. So he's back chilling out, and he's going to watch it from home. So,
yep, with his 5 kids.
That's right.
All right. So let's dive into this BMW Championship, Olympia Fields Country Club in Chicago. Now, prior to the podcast, John, I asked you if you ever played this course. You said no, but you said that you know it quite well. The metrics, because you know me, I've been doing my research, because I am going to gamble on a few of these cats this week. The metrics that stick out to me: driving accuracy, because you don't want to be in the rough, because this rough is rougher than rough.
Yes.
Greens in regulation, okay? Anywhere between 175 to 225 out, because from what I understand, this is a long course. Your putter, you need a putter. Your putter needs to be working here, because you're going to be scrambling your butt off just to get on the green. And you need one putts. I mean, 3 putting, you're out the door. You're not making it to Saturday. And last but not least, par four scoring. Birdies are better. So, and just to kind of give you an idea, again, I did some research this afternoon while I was doing 101 million things, besides my first fantasy football draft, by the way. Driving accuracy, some of the guys that I really like heading into this week, driving accuracy, Morikawa ranked 28th, Henley 31st, Berger 40, Rahm 44, strokes gained on approach, Henley 3rd, Schauffele 6, English 12, Rahm 18, JT 19, Morikawa 33. So already crossing over those two big metrics, Henley and Rahm stick out, as well as, I'm sorry, Henley, Rahm, and Morikawa, all three of those guys stick out. Putting, English 6th, and this is this season, by the way. This is rankings this season through the Northern Trust last week. English 16th on tour and strokes gained putting, Rahm 23rd, par 4 scoring, Scotty Scheffler ranked 5th overall, and Berger's tied for 12th. So I just share with you those are some of the guys that I'm eyeing, I'm looking at, that I think could make some noise this week. So I'm really curious. With that being said, kind of break down this course for us. Am I on point? Am I not? What did I leave out?
No, I think you're spot on. I think, in my opinion, the number one metric is going to be putting. It's a par 70 golf course. It's 7,300 yards. So to your par four point, a lot of par fours, and they're long. The rough is going to be U.S. Open type. So the players who are accurate off the tee will do well. But, again, those that are the great putters, I think you're going to see towards the top of the leaderboard. I love Justin Thomas. And listen, he hasn't been putting that well. But I think the good news is that when he puts poorly, he bounces back the next round or the next tournament and puts on a great putting performance. So I think we're going to see him play well this week. I think you mentioned Scotty Scheffler, who is has back-to-back fourth-place finishes at the Northern Trust at the PGA. Look for him to keep on playing well. Harris English is playing well. I love Daniel Berger, someone who's 13th off the tee, 6th on approach, 13th around the green, and 7th in putting. What else do you need from that? So you want to talk about all-round good player. So keep an eye on him. Don't count Matthew Wolf out, I think, as well. He's got some background here in the Chicago area. He won the Illini Invitational back in 2018. So he's got – a lot of guys don't have experience. Remember, this is not a golf course that is your normal tour stop. Okay, so not a lot of guys on the tour have experience there. DeChambeau won the amateur here in 2015. The only other event was the Open back in 2003. So this should be interesting to see guys that don't have that much experience versus guys that are from the area who have played college golf here, how they do. So I'm ready for a really great week of golf. This is going to be awesome.
You mentioned college golf. Another reason why I like Morikawa coming into this, he shot two rounds in the 60s on this track when he was at Cal. I guess he had a tournament here in Chicago while he was at Cal. And I want to say one round was like, I think he shot like a 64, and the other round he shot a 66. So, and also he missed the cut at the Northern Trust. So he's had a few days to rest and kind of recoup from his win out in San Francisco. So I'm really big on Morikawa coming into this. That's for sure. And then of course, you know, after this, you've got your top 30 that then head to Hotlanta.
Hotlanta, baby. That's right.
And that's going to be fun. So, so who's your, for me, so Rahm, okay. I'm Rahm. That's who I'm banking on. Rahm. I think Rahm wins this tournament. You have JT. That's
I like JT is my winner. Yep.
JT is your winner. Rahm's my winner. Morikawa, Hovland, I like them both to finish in the top five, maybe top 10.
Berger and Scheffler, top five.
I like that. I like that as well. Some long shots here. Robbie Sheldon and Henley are some long shots. And like I said, really quick, some guys that really need to make some noise and accumulate those points. Norin, Cantlay, Wolf, and Damon.
I think you're missing probably one of the most important guys who has to do well this week, and that's Mr. Woods. Right? He needs a sixth or better to get onto the tour championship. So listen, Tiger, he had that kind of look about him on Sunday. He birdied his first four holes out of the gate en route to a 66. So to me, he passed the eye test, but I think he had a great round just statistically. If you look at the numbers, his driving and approach games were really good. So let's see, can he keep his foot on the gas heading to Chicago? I don't know. He needs, like I said, a sixth place finish. If he plays like he did on Sunday, he's in, I think, in my opinion. It was good to see him bounce back with that.
Did you hear what he said in regards to the fans? I found this to be really interesting. He said that he's missing the fans on tour because the fans help him create an edge against his opponents, because his opponents, the other golfers, they're not used to playing with those type of galleries that follow Tiger around all the time. And they have to deal with all the commotion and the noise and the excitement and all that. And since Tiger's been used to that for so many years, the fact that that's not on tour right now, he's kind of lost an edge. I thought that was really interesting.
Yeah, it's like every time he's teeing it up, it's a home game for Tiger, right? I mean, you've played sports. You know what it's like to go into the enemy's house and then the crowd is behind your opponent. So that was an advantage to him. He fed off of that, and he was comfortable in that environment. A lot of guys are not comfortable with that many people around. So a very good point by Tiger. You didn't really think of it that way, as he really needed it like a teammate was the fans.
Last but not least, let's end on this. Phil Mickelson shoots a 61 at the PGA Tour Champions debut. Now, we know he turned 50 in June, eliminated from the FedEx Cup playoffs because of points. So this is his first go at the Senior Tour. Is this even fair? Is this even fair?
Was there any doubt that, like, the ultimate showman of golf was going to do something special in his Senior Tour debut? You know, comes out, he's got the coffee, by the way, which is coming out soon.
Is it?
Yeah.
Because I'm dying to get my hands on it.
Of course you are. You're a marketer's dream. So all he does is go out and shoot 61 in his debut. Okay, 11 birdies, ho-hum. He's got the Eric Estrada glasses, as I like to call them, working. And in typical Phil fashion, just comes in, takes over. I think it's unfair. I mean, this guy can still compete on the PGA Tour. He's going to destroy these guys.
So from what I understand, we're not going to see Phil back on the tour until the Safeway Open, which is the tune-up for the U.S. Open. And as we know, it's the only major that he has not won yet.
Semi-retired right now. Right?
How any confidence, that Phil is going to be competitive at Wingfoot?
I think he's going to be competitive. Yes. I think
you think he'll be in contention?
Yes.
On Sunday?
I don't know about Sunday. I think it'll be a good story going into the weekend. I don't know if he'll be able to hold on.
I hope so.
Yeah, it would be awesome, wouldn't it?
It would. It really would be good. Have you heard, and again, John Miscary is the head pro over at Alpine Country Club. I know all you Country Club pros. I know you guys are really tight. By the way, I'm playing Arcola tomorrow.
Oh, what a great place that is.
Yeah.
I love it. Awesome golf course.
Good friend Jeff out there is hosting me and Kate, who you met at Rivervale Country Club.
I did, yep.
Who's a plus two, who every time I teed up with her, she just kicks my ass, but it's okay.
Oh no, I witnessed it in person. It was very amusing.
I'm a big girl. I can take it. but anyway, any talk, any buzz about what's going on at Wingfoot right now? I mean, we're just a few weeks away.
No real change to things. I think watching the PGA do it at Harding Park for a major was a nice litmus test for the USGA. So they're going to follow suit, and I think it's going to be a great event just like that was. They'll do it right.
I know we don't have Christina Thompson on the show today, and again, happy birthday, Christina. We do miss you, but we totally understand, and hopefully you're enjoying your fantastic birthday week with your husband, Mark. But there's a great story that took place on the PGA Tour. How about we end on that? Let's end on a real feel-good story that might give us all, you know, all of us, you know, 18, 19, 15, 13 handicappers, a little inspiration, John.
Okay, so if you haven't seen this story, you have to check it out. So Sophia Popov is the woman who won the Women's Open at Royal Troon. So it's the ladies' version of the British Open, okay? Check it out. You want to talk about a Cinderella story. You know, we all know Caddyshack. We all know Bill Murray's character there, the Cinderella story about to become the Masters champion. This is a real Cinderella story. So this girl, 3 weeks ago, she was ranked 390th on the tour, okay? She was caddying for a friend of hers at the Drive-On Championship, which was the LPGA's first event of the year, okay? She didn't arrive to Royal Troon until Tuesday because she was playing on, like, the Symetra Tour, which is like the Corn Ferry Tour. She wins the event by two shots. I mean, you want to talk about life-changing? You got to watch the video. She's bawling, crying on the final green. She calmly two putts. Any self-doubt that this young woman had about whether she should be out there on tour, and frankly, she admitted she was going to quit golf. She was like, I'm done playing golf. I'll get in a regular job. Now, every dream is realized when she taps that ball in on 18. The pressure of being out there and understand that she belongs with the best in the world and overcoming all that and beating them. Anita, she won an event on like the Cactus Tour, which is the minor of minor league tours, and she won $2,500. The check she cashed from winning this event was $675,000.
Wow.
Think about that. Want to talk about life-changing? She wasn't even going to come close to that in her career, and then she does it in one weekend.
And she you said she was caddying?
She was caddying like a few weeks ago for a friend of hers on the tour because she didn't have status. She lost her card on the LPGA Tour at the end of last year, and she only qualified for this tournament because of a top 10 finish at the marathon, which she was only playing in because a bunch of the other higher-ranked players couldn't attend due to COVID-19 restrictions. So all the stars aligned for her, and, you know, she had her shot, and she took her shot, and she made it. So there you go.
There you go.
The rest is history.
There you go. Inspiration for me that I'm going to break 80 at Arcola tomorrow.
Good luck with that.
John, I love you, man. I love you too. I love each and every week. I like sitting here and talking golf with you, and I love that we do this podcast, and I appreciate your time.
It's my pleasure. I love being on talking golf with you and with everyone in our area. Thank you for tuning into us, and it's hard to believe that it's almost September. Can you believe this?
No, I cannot. But it's hard to believe that once the tour championship is over, it's not over.
I know.
We still have two more majors ahead of us. And so that's,
oh man,
that makes it a beautiful thing.
It sure does.
Anyway, everybody, thank you so much for tuning in. This is On the Tee, Anita Marks, John Mascari. We appreciate you tuning in. Enjoy the BMW Championship. We'll be back next Tuesday to recap this tournament and look forward to the Tour Championship that's going to be taking place in Atlanta with the top 30. Have a great weekend, everybody.